Amen and amen. The Bible said in Luke's Gospel 21, verse number 1, and he looked up. He must have been sitting low. Aren't you glad that God humbled himself and became a servant? Left the palaces of heaven in his humility. He looked up and the Bible said he saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. He said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Now Mark 12 verse 41, Mark writes about it and this is what he says. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. He called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want or poverty did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Thank you for standing honoring the reading of the Word of God. I'd like to preach on this simple truth this morning on throwing it all in for Jesus. Throwing it all in for Jesus. I'm reminded after Mark 12 and 41. Did you notice in chapter 13, verse 1, what happened after this great, powerful teaching that Jesus did in the temple? The Bible says, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. He had to have been a Baptist disciple, because he just got out of church and seen one of the greatest things that took the Lord back. And he's saying, Lord, look at all this material stuff. Boy, it reminds me today of how we need to remember what Jesus has said when we get here. And when we're here and leave, ball games ought to not be on our mind, or yard sales, or Walmart. We ought to be thinking about what the Lord just said to us. Because Jesus looked at him and he said, boy, all this is going to burn up one day. Now, first of all, in throwing it all in to Jesus, I want to say that there's an assessment at the temple. There is an assessment at the temple. In Mark 12 and verse number 41, you'll notice this, that the Bible says that Jesus sat. I'm glad that Jesus loves to come around the temple. What would happen today if we came just to an old, cold building and Jesus was not in the midst? I'm glad Jesus loves to take a seat around His people. And I'm glad He's interested in what's going on in the temple this morning. Therefore, Jesus came and the Bible says that He sat at the temple. Number two, something so wonderful about our God, not only that He sits at the temple, but the Bible says that He sees in the temple. He said that He sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money. Not the amount so much, but He noticed how they were acting in the temple. I want to remind you every time we come to church, not only is Jesus setting, but Jesus is seeing. And I sure am glad I've got a God that is alive that can see. And then you'll notice something else about this assessment in the temple. Not only do you see that we have a God that's setting in the temple, a God that's seeing in the temple, but we've got a God that's saying something. Oh, nobody help me on Sunday. We got a God that's a saying something in the temple. I can tell you why people don't know more about what Jesus is saying. They won't bring their sorry hide to the temple. They hear about what so-and-so said. But I can tell you this, it really don't matter what me and you are saying. It's what He says at the... It matters what He says in the temple. Now, in this temple, they had 13 chests set up. Each chest was designated of where the money went in their giving. And many times they built these, looked like a flower or a trumpet. They were wide at the mouth, and people would come and they would cast their money in, and it would go as a funnel into the chest of where they gave it. Jesus, I've noticed this. He's concerned about how I do things at the temple. Somebody said, well, now listen, the method don't matter. It's the message. I'll remind you, the method does matter. Because He said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. There's difference in preaching and teaching. Preaching is yelling. Teaching's telling. Some of you need yelling this morning. We've got a lot of teaching. We've not got much preaching in America. Because the average preacher, he's afraid he's going to offend somebody. And I want to say something. I don't want to get crazy about the preaching. But if it's ever been a day and an hour, Brother Joe, when a preacher needs to rear back and say, what thus saith the Word of God, it is on June 1st in 2014, honey, America's in a mess and the temples are in the mess. Therefore, I'm glad there's an assessment at the temple Jesus is setting. I'm glad I can come to work church where Jesus is set. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad He's got my chair. Isn't it amazing? Our God's so big, He can sit everywhere. Some of you felt Him come down and sit down beside of you. Ain't you glad He ain't like that little pot-belly feller down there at the Chinese restaurant called Buddha? He can only sit in one place with His little statue at a time, honey. But let me tell you, there's a God of this Bible that can sit everywhere in the building this morning. I'd be afraid to put my name on the pew, be afraid to defend Him. He wouldn't want to sit there. I love it when folks get saved. They don't know at your seat. They come in and sit right down on top where you've been sitting about 20 years. Amen. I love when people get saved, didn't know that was your parking spot, and they pull up in your parking spot. Amen. I love that kind of people when they come to church and don't realize that nobody owns the building. Hello, phone's ringing. Pick it up. That ain't your seat, ain't your parking spot. It's all God's. It's all God's. Glory be to God. Hey, Liberty Baptist Church, let's just let God be God and run the temple the way He wants to run the temple. There ain't no sense in you looking down your nose at somebody just cause their tattoo don't look like your tattoo. Tattoo on people don't scare me. Amen. Just cause your dress is dragging the ground don't mean cause somebody else dressing like you, you gotta look down at them. Can I tell you, Jesus loves people and Jesus loves sinners, and I believe we ought to have standards. We ought to dress right and look right and act right, and we ought to spit white. Somebody say amen right there. You tobacco chewers, you ought to spit white. You ought to quit that mess. Your tooth's gonna fall out. Somebody say amen right there. Now, God, I love it too, but I can't do it no more anyway. That rabbit got up. That's one. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a time that we got to realize that Jesus is in the temple. And it matters what He's seeing and where He's sitting, and it matters what He's saying. He said something to His disciples, and I'm reminded as this disciple left, there was a difference. You can read that Andrew, James, and John, they was more concerned about spiritual things and asked Him when these things would be. That one boy left right out of the temple and he said, "Man, look at all this pretty stuff." Jesus said, "Listen, your mind ain't right. I just given you one of the greatest illustrations and went right over your head." It reminds me when I'm preaching, people says, "Give it to them, preacher. Give it to them, preacher." No, honey, I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm not preaching to your neighbor. I'm preaching to you this morning. Boy, they got it today. Boy, Brother Ken, let them have it. But hon, you ain't heard nothing in 20 years. Amen. You still act stupid. There's an assessment at the temple. Number two, now there's an arrival at the temple. In comes in a little widow woman. Poor. I could watch them boys that had it all. Look at her, said, "Man, ain't nobody seeing her. Listen, all this sound we making, giving all this in that trumpet and the tin. See, them things is made out of tin, Brother Donald. And I believe instead of throwing paper money, a lot of them would go and get a bunch of pennies and throw in there so they'd make a loud noise. Somebody look at me." Reminds me of Sapphira and Ananias. They held back their giving at church, come in late, wanted somebody to see what they'd give. If y'all read your Bible, I wouldn't have to preach so long. That's what they did. Church service done in. Here they come dragging in late, going to give something. The Holy Ghost said, "You lied." Matter of fact, wouldn't that be amazing if you had a preacher like Simon Peter or Paul? You walked in, been living like the devil. He looked at you and said, "Hey, bud, you full of the devil." And the Holy Ghost backed him up because they died. Somebody lied, somebody died, and nobody cried. Look at me, but in walks this little widow woman. Now listen. Boy, Lord, put this thing in my heart this week in revival. Now, I've never preached this, I don't reckon. But I notice Jesus is maybe leaning over against the wall and He's just watching. He sees people and all their arrogance come and saying, "Lord, look what I'm doing for You today. Look what I'm doing for You, Lord. Look what I'm doing for You. Aren't I something? Lord, look how I'm dressed. Look what I'm driving. Lord, isn't this amazing just how good I've been to You, Lord?" They give out of their riches what they didn't realize. Jesus could have snapped His finger and they wouldn't have had nothing to give that morning. Let me remind you of something as a country preacher today. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Nothing. There's an arrival at the temple. I wish that house was filled with this kind of people. Oh, don't get me wrong. I like people that give big sums that God can use it. But I tell you what the Lord's interested in. He's more interested in your heart than your money. Now watch your Bible. There's an arrival at the temple. Number one, look at her dedication. The Bible said in verse 2, "There came a certain poor widow, threw in two mites, which make a farthing." Her dedication. Hey, why don't you get rid of excuses about not coming to church and just come to church? Dedication. I bet you she had something to whine about. Her husband was dead. She didn't have much. But thank God for people that have come to the house of God with great dedication. I doubt she rode in a nice vehicle. I doubt she had nice clothes to wear. Listen, God didn't give you a boat to use it on Sunday. God didn't bless you to take you away from His house. He blessed you that you may honor Him with everything you've got. Our whole countries went crazy because we've been so blessed. You know, when I go to the Philippines, you know why we see hundreds and thousands saved? Because they ain't got nothing. You know why we don't see more people saved? You know why we don't see more dedication? Because we've got everything. Some of you need to go back to where God found you and look how He's blessed you. Most everybody in here has got double of what their mom and daddy ever had. And if you got babies on your beach, hey, there's no monetary value you can put on that. There's souls going someplace. And wherever you're taking your children or your husband or your wife, they're going out away from this place, not in this place. You need dedication. I've tried to give families time off, and you need to realize I'm not turning liberal. I realize the culture in which we're living. Everybody's busy, but let's just get honest with the man of God and with the Holy Ghost. We've got so busy because God's blessed us in such a way, and we don't want to put Him first. The ball games have stole the house of God. Race days, it's on the house of God. I've got no problem with none of that. Why don't they do it on Saturday?
Amen.
I know none of y'all like that. I don't care if you don't like it or not. She had dedication. And it's all in my heart. When this house is open, I want to be here. Some of you Wednesday night won't come because I ain't here. I'm glad you love me, but you ought to come anyway. You ought to be glad you got a preacher that's out yonder preaching somewhere that maybe God's using a little. You ought to be glad you go to a church where God's got a preacher somebody wants to listen to. God help me. I know you smite me and close every door in the morning. I mean that right, Lord. I can tell you one thing, though. I've noticed I'll say stuff nobody else will say. You say, well, I tell you what I'd do if I was you. You ain't me. Keep your mouth shut. You wouldn't have the guts to do it no how. You little henpecked looking something. We all right? Dedication. We need to be dedicated. Boy, she had all kind of excuses. We got all kind of excuses. My wife, nearly a concussion this week, got a metal knee. Every hip hurting her, every joint aching. She comes to the house of God. And you listen to me, I'm the pastor. I realize the culture that we live in. I know we got real busy, but let me tell you, we're not near as busy as we act like we are. Tonight, I've tried to give you family time. Some of you will be running like a striped snake all evening. You won't even think about family. We got to get back to family values. We got to get back to family living. What's wrong with young'uns and grandbabies just sitting around an old tree with an ice cream freezer? What happened to that, Brother Rand? Brother Rand, remember when we just get an old watermelon come to your house? Nick, a little old boy, prayed you had that old boxer dog. It stunk bad. What happened to that kind of living? We just sat around, put salt on watermelon. Some of you crazy people don't even put salt on your watermelon. What happened? Old time living, just getting together and enjoying one another. Staying out of the world and enjoying how good Jesus has been. Getting around the table with one another. No, we might not have to go to church tonight, but we might could do something at home a church wouldn't do. Let's be together for once. Some of you need to be together. You're in the highway. I got families driving an hour one way to this church. Do the math. Somebody do the math. An hour here, an hour back. How many's that? An hour back at night and an hour back. How many's that? How high's gas? Higher than some of you tithing. Some of you give a love offering. You better look around here, honey. This place don't run on love offerings. Ain't it amazing, Mother Day, the offering goes in half. You must spend Jesus' money on mama. Praise God, I'm a fixing to preach. I got me a bulldozer, a tractor trailer truck, and a trailer, and I'm a going somewhere this morning. Boy, ain't it amazing? Christmas time, Santa Claus gets half our tithe money. I tell Brother Mike, pull the budget back. Ain't nothing coming in Christmas. I forgot about Mama's Day. Praise God, all y'all bounce out and don't even send your tithes back next Sunday. Somebody, don't you look down at me. I'll preach on you this morning. Oh, we just let them have it. Yeah, right. Just let them have it. Listen, I got a mama, I love her. I don't mind you going to church. But think about your commitments to the Lord. Be dedicated. Quit hunting for reasons to get out of church. Some of you are looking for just for me to say something so you won't come back. Why don't you do like some of these folks in the back and smile when I preach? Why don't some of you listen for something I may say that would help you instead of trying to pin me down like ears on a donkey and waiting for me to say something that would offend you to run you off? Why don't you put your big boy and girl britches on and go on for the glory of God? Go on in one of them sissy churches where she's up there shaking and prancing around. She won't be doing no yelling. Don't look down right now. We ain't praying, we preaching. Dedication. We need dedication. This is what some of you are going to say, and this is what bothers me. Scoot over. This is what bothers me. You'll say next Sunday night, well, we just got Sunday school. We won't come back. What you don't know, I may preach next Sunday night. Well, it ain't important. Brother Ken let us off the first Sunday night. Praise God. We're going to declare victory every Sunday night. It's just Sunday school. Well, how many of you ever been touched in Sunday school? I'll tell you what was a blessing. Last Sunday night, I come in here, I got two good adult teachers. You ever thought about your preacher may ever get tired? You know what time I pulled him bound Saturday morning? I'm not whining, I'm praising God. I drove all night. What's wrong, Brookie? He looks tired. What's wrong with you, Brookie? I got two screws in my neck. And I'm bald-headed because somebody's crazy. You look at that right there, friend. Super glued and put that back together. Don't you think the man of God ever gets tired and would love to just come in and relax a little on a Sunday night, go down and see his babies in Sunday school class? Some of them looked up last Sunday night and said, oh, that must be our preacher. Some of you would faint if I walked in on Wednesday night. You'd fall out on the floor. But you won't come because you think I don't know about it. There's something you better get to preaching this morning. It ain't about who's looking in the temple from the preacher. He's watching in the temple. Don't you think I'm going liberal just because I'm tired and wanting to give some family some time. I like what our little nephew said. I tarred too. But I can tell you one thing. Next Sunday night, the Lord willing, I'm going to try my best to be here. I purpose to try to be here most Sunday nights before I leave for a meeting. Even though it takes me 9 hours to get there and get out like a stove-up fence post. Because if I laugh, it's what some of you say. Oh, Brother Ken's going into evangelism. He don't love us. Are you crazy?
Go ahead, preacher.
Don't you know the Bible says the qualifications not only be the husband of one wife, but out to teach and do the work of an evangelist.
Yep.
Do the work of an evangelist. It wasn't that fun driving back to 5 o'clock Saturday morning. That ain't fun. Would some of you get an airplane? Would some of you get to doing so good, buy an airplane and get license? That'd be a real blessing, this preacher. We need a lawyer, we need a doctor, and we need a pilot with an airplane. And we need somebody tithing to keep gas in the thing. I know what some of y'all say, boy, that show is pretty. Must run on air. That's like y'all.
Eating wind pudding and rabbit tracks. Who's ever got full on that? What you ought to do is come some of these places with me and you might see what your church is doing. Some of you ought to come and see because you're giving tithing. You're supporting 60 missionaries and sending your preacher around the country. You might ought to go in and see maybe what God's doing with your money. Then you might get, maybe you'd get encouraged about your dedication. Number two, not only did she have dedication, she had preparation. She brought it with her. What did you bring to church this morning to help somebody? What did you bring to church that would all Jesus about? Some of you come, that all him enough.
Go ahead.
Y'all look like you need some preaching in the new wing this morning. We put that other wing, we're going to put an elevator in here. I'm getting too old to run all this big building. You say, well, you can preach like this every Sunday, we won't add it on. I tell you what, we're just going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see if folks want preaching or they want petting. You can get petting at the zoo. Some of you need to get a ticket and go to the zoo petting. Preacher, ain't salad. No, I don't need to preach that. They ain't here. They need to hear it and they ain't here. I ain't going to bore you with that. They won't get the tape. We okay? Are we all right? Is this 10 after? My shirt's just got wet. She had preparation. What have you done to add to the service before you got here? Did you pray this morning? We had an extra hour. Have you prayed? Anybody study their Bible any? Brother Eric listened to a song, helped me this morning. He did. He helped me. The Lemons traveled from Marietta. They brought something. They helped me this morning. She had preparation. And I'm going to tell you something else this girl had. She had anticipation. She said, you know what? I'm fixing to give him everything I got because I want to see something happen. I wish we'd get that way at Liberty Baptist Church. And I'm not preaching so much on your money, but it comes up. But I'm going to tell you what. Jesus is interested in what we're doing with what we've got. There's some things money cannot buy. I don't have time. I'm not going to labor. But I won't say the assessment at the temple, rival at the temple, but there was some affection at the temple. You know what Jesus said? The Bible said, verse 43, He called him His disciples, said to them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. I want to ask y'all something just a minute right there. And I'm fixing to move on, give an invitation. Miss Julie, I want you to come sing. Bring Caroline if you want to this morning. I want y'all to be making your way to the piano if you would. Now I want to say this about this. We see this great affection at the temple. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said she's put in more than everybody in the building. You say, well, preacher, how's that add up? I said, they gave in of their abundance of their riches. But she's give more than anybody in the building. Yeah. Because let me tell you why he said that. Because it hurt her in her giving. You see, it's not what you give, it's what you got left. What are you giving to Jesus? Number one, what about your time? You spend any time through the week reading your Bible? Is anybody glad they got a preacher that'll remind you of what needs to be going on? I tell you what I'll do sometime. I'll get so busy. I find myself, I've got to make myself read my Bible. Let me ask you this. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know why your faith's so weak? You're not in the Word of God. How much time are you giving to the Lord? Then watch this. Not only the time of her giving, but have y'all noticed this? Look at the trust of her giving. She gave everything she had. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm just going to be real honest with you. I've got all my eggs in one basket. It was real cushy in the corporate world, preaching on Sunday. That was cushy. But let me ask you something. When he asked you to put all your eggs in one basket, let me tell you something. I've got to have God to exist.
Yes, sir.
I've got to have God to breathe.
Yes, sir.
My children, they're all in Florida this week. You know how many times I've prayed this week? God, give them traveling safety. I got three grandbabies down there, but my young'uns ain't got a clue throwing them in them waters with sharks circling. They ain't got a clue. Brother Wayne, it's different when you have grandbabies. Well, that man would walk across. Y'all think just because he's a Yankee and don't shout, he'd walk across them pine trees for that grandbaby. He's a transplant like me. I wish some of y'all would welcome me. Well, you welcome him. You think I'm an outcast. All right. Cast in more than they all. Boy, they're making a lot of noise, Brother Joe. She didn't make much noise. Serving God ain't in noise. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Parker says, woo-hoo! He said, pop that pookie right there. Woo-hoo! What you doing with your woo-hoo out yonder? Boy, I didn't know all this coming, but I sure am glad it has. I've enjoyed preaching this morning. I want to read three little things and then I'm going to give an invitation. You see, on the affection at the temple, her treasure. But then the appreciation. Not only the assessment, the arrival, the affection, but lastly the appreciation of the temple. Jesus says she gave more than them all. Now listen to these four things I'm done. Unless, first of all, we have to do without something we really want, then our gift is not a true gift. Listen, this lady's been good enough. She's monogrammed me some handkerchiefs, and I appreciate that. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to read this. Listen to what I'm reading. Unless, first of all, that we do without something we really want, then our gift is not a true gift. Preacher boy from home, my last meeting I preached for him, you know what I do? I left him one of my handkerchiefs. Them crosses on it, she's monogrammed. Isn't that a blessing? I gave him that. But I'll be honest with you. You know why it was easy to give? Because she gave me about 15. I remember in Kentucky one time, y'all remember for our phones to talk, tell us how to get there. Somebody had given me a Garmin that talked. Tell you, anybody ever drove with me, I need somebody telling me where to turn. That thing, Brother Mike, would tell me the street to turn. And a boy pulled in Kentucky, and I said, man, how you doing? He said, preacher, I like never got here. He said, how'd you get here? I said, man, my Garmin told me to turn around 9 times. He pulled out a pad, notebook, yaller pad. He said, look at the turns I've made. He had it all wrote down Google before he left home. Holy Ghost said, give him your Garmin. Lord, just let me give him another notebook to write on. No, I want him to have your Garmin. This is what I've done. True story, Lord. Lord knows I'm telling the truth. I come out of the meeting, went in the motel, put on my night clothes, laid down. Holy Ghost said, said, I didn't say he give him a tablet. I said, give him that Garmin out there in your Suburban. I said, Lord, you really mean that? I mean, this is my first trip. It amazed me a woman tell me, turn on First Avenue. And she'd say, whoa, you're getting close. I was used to a woman talking. There's never been had one I could turn off. Oh, look out now. Look out. Look out. I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Give me a little sugar, baby.
You said in the first time.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Now she's gone trying to preach. But this is what I done. I said, Lord, if you really want him to have it. Listen, I done got the bed pulled the cover up. I said, let me look out that window. And if he's out there, y'all, it was snowing. And I got up. You know how you do. You grab that curtain. You say, please don't be out there. He said, and his motel door opened, Brother Mike. Out he come in that snow, this truck. I said, okay. I throwed my overcoat on right. I said, hey, don't go back in your room. Hang on a minute. I unlocked that Suburban, grabbed that thing out of the lighter plug. I run across the parking lot. He looked at me. There I was in my pajamas and an overcoat running with something in my hand. I said, God wants me to give this to you. You say, well, preacher, why are you saying that? I've noticed this. When you give it, and you can't feel it, it didn't mean nothing to God. Do you hear me? In your giving, if you don't feel it, today's Macedonia Mission Sunday. I know there's nearly 50 missionaries out of that, two churches. I was coming up the road this morning, God said, he'd been telling me about 6 weeks, Brother Matt, increase your mission giving. Increase it. I said, but Lord, I'm a little low this week. He said, give it. I've got my check wrote in my pocket. Macedonia Mission. How much is it, preacher? That ain't none of your business. That's God's business. But I've noticed this. If I can't feel it, it don't mean nothing to God. Number two. In this appreciation at the temple, Jesus said she gave more than they all. Men may value money for itself, but the Lord does not. It's the heart that He cares for. A lot of people think, well, that's all they want is our money. No, no, no. We want your soul. We want your heart right with God. Listen, thirdly, we can please God in a little, if that little is our all. We can please God with our little if that little is our all. In other words, well, preacher, I can't do much. Well, do with what you've got. Do just a little praying, a little encouraging. It may be refreshing to the preacher if you'd come by and say, Brother Ken, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. I'm going to tell you something. A lady sitting here this morning, Miss Brenda, she don't say much. I preached here, and I'm going to tell you, Brother Lee, I was so discouraged. I'm telling you, I was discouraged. And I preached that morning. She come by me, and you know what she said? Brother Ken, that's for me today. I appreciate you preaching that for me. Do you know how much I've rode that one statement that woman's given me? Just what little you got, use it for Him. I'm really not preaching on money. I'm preaching on your heart. Then lastly, are you listening? What's Christ's estimate of your giving? What is Christ's estimate of your giving? Are you throwing it all in, your time? Your talent, yourself, your dedication. Is anybody wanting to build a church in these last days? Is anybody wanting to hear a preacher preach out of a King James Bible and be right about it? Is anybody wanting to go to church that keeps the altars open where families can come and get help? Well, I'm going to tell you, we've got to guard our hearts. Because the Bible says, wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Would you come this morning? My sister's going to sing. Man, what great liberty I've had preaching. Would you come this morning?